Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. How many want to have your troubles vanish tonight? I like that line. You know, it's not that they just are gone, right? It's that they just don't matter. Amen. It's like the song says, the things of earth will grow strangely dim, right? Amen. Sometimes we wish we could just make them vanish, huh? Amen. But amen. His presence does that for us, though. Amen. It puts everything in perspective. Amen. We have that assurance that He's got it in control. Amen. I'm so thankful that He gives us what we need and not what we want. Aren't you? Amen. Because if we just got everything we want, we'd just be spoiled brats, right? Amen. I would be anyway. I don't know about you. But I'm thankful that He gives us just what we need. Amen. And then as we grow in Christ, we look back and we see that's really what I wanted too. I wanted to be closer to Him, and that's what really matters. So we thank Him for it. Amen. Amen. Thank you, musicians. While you're standing, let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer if we could tonight. Amen. Father, we just count it a privilege again, Lord, to come tonight and to open your word, Father, and to just join in fellowship with my brothers and sisters, and Lord, to sing the songs of worship, Lord, and Lord, just to have you, Lord, come and just anoint your word and anoint the praises of your people, and Lord, your presence as we sang, Lord, it just makes all the difference. And Lord, where you are, Lord, everything is all right, Lord. And God, we just love you tonight, Lord. And I just pray tonight that Lord, we it's a midweek service, Lord. We've all been doing things, Lord, today and this week, and we've been going through the daily grind and trials and things. And but Lord, I just pray that you would just lift, Lord, the weariness, and Lord, may we just be able to really enter in, Lord, just for a little while tonight, just a little sanctuary, Lord, just a little time set aside with you. And but Lord, may we make it count tonight, Lord. May it count for something, Lord, where we can really, really draw closer to you, Lord, and not just, you know, come as out of duty, Father, but Lord, we just believe that if we approach you that way, Lord, that you'll do something for us, Lord. And Lord, it will make a difference in our lives, Father. And Lord, we'll be closer and we'll be more victorious, Lord. And the things of life won't affect us so much, Lord. And things won't get under our skin so much. And Lord, because we'll be living in those heavenly places with you. So I just pray that you bless your word as it goes forth and bless your people tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. If you'd like to turn while you're still standing, we're going to just read here in Matthew chapter 28. And I want to just continue to pray for Brother Doug and Sister Jennifer. Amen. As they're traveling and they're up there in the uttermost tabernacle in Alaska. And we're, I don't know, it's something like -7 degrees or something that's just not right. And, you know, we weren't made to live in that kind of thing, I'll tell you. I wasn't anyway. So those brothers and sisters up there are rugged, but I guess God made everybody a little bit different. But they can have it. But we just pray that God will bless them. Amen. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. That's quite a statement right there. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Amen. We just want to speak tonight about the authority of our commission that we've been given. And this is the Great Commission. Amen. Amen. This scripture here that many have called the Great Commission is Jesus. It's his parting instructions, right? It's the last, his last command, his last commandments to the church, or some of them. And he's sending the church out into the world, but he's sending them out saying that I will go with you, right? It's not, you're not going to go out on your own. You're not going to go out under your own power, and you're definitely not going out under your own authority. What he is giving to the church right here and in other places we'll read is authority, right? He's actually giving them a commission. And the commission, this commission was not just to those that were there, right? It's to all the church. It's to whosoever will believe and who will be part of the future church to come. And that comes down to this day. Amen. So this still applies to us. Is that right? Now, a commission, that word commission is the act of granting authority. And it could be authority or it could be powers, but usually it's granted to carry out a task or some sort of duty. Okay, that's a commission. It's one person or entity granting power and authority to another to do something. Okay, that's a commission. And so in order to give a commission, the person giving the commission has to have some kind of power and authority. Otherwise, the commission is worthless. Right? Now, so for example, what if I, who have no power and authority, what if I were to write up a very nice looking piece of paper, a commission, and I would give it to you and I would say, I'm going to commission you to give out parking tickets in the city of Tucson. Right? And you said, thank you, I have a commission now that I can give out parking tickets. And you went out into Tucson and started giving out parking tickets. Or speeding tickets. Right? Well, what would happen? Somebody with real authority would probably arrest you. Right? A police officer would probably arrest you. What are you doing? And you would say, well, you don't understand. I have a commission. I'm commissioned. Here's the piece of paper that says I have the authority to give out parking tickets or speeding tickets in the city of Tucson. And they would say, well, who gave you the commission? Yeah. Right? Right? And they would say, oh, well, this guy down that I met down on the street named Andy. Right? I don't know. His name's at the bottom. Right? And they would say, well, I'm sorry, but that granting authority has zero authority in the realm of parking tickets and speeding tickets. Right? They would call into question the one who gave you the commission. Amen. The authority and the power flows from the person giving that commission. Right? So one of the most well-known examples of a commission in our modern times is into the armed forces. Navy, Army, whatever it is. The officers in our armed forces, and in many, most throughout the world, and for hundreds of years this has been the case, they call them commissioned officers. And the reason they call them that is because they actually have a written commission that grants them authority. So you can go look, and different navies and different armies for different countries will have some different flavor of it, but they're all generally pretty much the same. We have one here in the United States, and our commissions for the officers come directly from the commander-in-chief, the President of the United States. the highest authority in the land, the one with the authority of command of all the armed forces. Each officer's commission comes directly from that person. It doesn't come from a general or an admiral or something like that. Every officer is commissioned directly by the commander-in-chief. Oh, hallelujah. What a type, amen? And in that commission, it's a written commission that's signed and sealed and everything. It's official, right? And in that commission, it calls the person out by name. The officer. This is their name. It calls them out by rank. They are being appointed this specific rank in our armed forces. And then it has a statement of authority. And it says, you know, they all say some, like I said, some kind of flavor of this, but the one for our United States says that it charges all personnel, everyone of a lesser rank, to render obedience to this officer. Yeah. Amen? Charged by the commander-in-chief himself. That everyone of a lower rank and grade will obey and give due obedience to this officer of this grade and this position. And then at the bottom it says, who is making the commission? Signed and sealed, the President of the United States, Commander-in-Chief of all the armed forces. So it doesn't matter if you're the lowest ranking officer. If you're an officer commissioned, you've got this from the president. So this commission sends the officers out into the world with the authority of the commander-in-chief at their back and gives them the authority they need to operate anywhere in the world under any circumstances on behalf of their country. Amen. That's a powerful thought, isn't it? So we have a commission. Amen. And so what is our commission? Our commission comes from the one who has all authority. Amen. And in fact, Brother Branham said that this entire Bible is our commission. Everything written in it is for the believer. And this is our source of authority, right? But in Matthew 28, it starts out, the first thing we read is Jesus says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. He starts out by identifying his own authority to grant a commission. Amen? All power given unto me in heaven and earth. So if you take the commission back to the granting authority, there's no question. Amen? In my parking ticket, you know, example, I can give you all the authority that I have, and it means nothing. Amen? I've given you zero, because I didn't have any to start with. The giver must have authority. But he said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Now, brother, sister, we talk about and we recognize this is Satan's Eden, right? Satan is the god of this evil age. We talk about how he has control over the nations. He has control over, he's the prince of the power of the air. We talk about, you know, we recognize those things, right? But it doesn't change the fact, and don't lose sight of the fact, that our God, Jesus Christ, has all power. Amen. over all heaven and earth.
Amen.
Amen? The only thing that Satan can do is by permission and by allowance. Oh, if we could just think on that for a little while. Amen? Amen. Do we find ourselves wondering, can God? Amen. Can He? Can He deliver? Yes.
Yes.
Amen. Can He save? Yes.
Amen.
Can He heal? Yes. All power. Can He bind up the brokenhearted? Yes.
Amen.
He can. He still does.
Amen.
Amen. Can He mend relationships that are broken? Yes. All power on heaven and earth.
Amen.
Amen. Can He restore families? Yes. Can He convict and bring sinners to repentance? Yes, He still can, and He still does. He's all powerful.
Amen.
He defeated death, hell, and the grave.
Right.
Amen. He can, and He has already healed, saved, all power.
Amen.
That's our God tonight, brother, sister.
Amen.
Amen. That's the one that sent us out.
Amen.
That's the one that's going with us. The one that has all power.
Amen.
There's no power anywhere that is higher than Him.
Amen.
And there's no power that's left outside of His authority. It's not like Satan and his demons are somewhere over here outside of His purview. Right? They can't say, oh, you don't come under, we don't fall under your jurisdiction. Right? You know what, like, going back to our example of cities and municipalities and stuff, right? They have jurisdictions, right? Their power, their authority, for a police officer might just be for the city of Tucson or for the county if they're a sheriff, right? Or whatever it may be. They don't have any authority in New Mexico, right? But there is no power, no principality, nothing that is not under the jurisdiction of our God.
Amen.
All power on heaven and earth. No spirit, no person, no principality, no power. Amen. Now, we know that He hasn't exercised this completely because He even said, all things are not yet put under Me. Right? But He has the power to do it. He's just waiting for the right time and season according to His will. Amen? So, this means that any authority... Well, this is powerful. If you were asleep, this is a good time to wake up. It's a good time to listen. This means, because He has all power in heaven and earth, that any authority that He gives must be acknowledged by any entity. I don't care how powerful that devil thinks he is. He has to acknowledge the power and authority that has been granted through the commission. Hallelujah. We have full confidence that whatever He commissions us to do, amen, wherever He sends us, whatever He calls us to do, He has the power, the authority to back up that commission.
Amen.
He has conferred that authority to His church. Amen. And He'll back it up. That commission must stand. He puts His entire reputation behind it. Oh, if we could have confidence in our God tonight. Amen. Amen. Jesus has all power. Hallelujah. Amen. Not confidence in ourselves. Confidence in what He has called us to do. Confidence in the commission that He has given to us. Amen. So we know that Satan will call this into question. Right? He's going to challenge it at every turn. But we as believers, our battle is to never waver from the authority that God has given us. to stand fast on it and say, yes, Satan, everything you're saying is true as far as I don't believe, you know, I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of it. I'm, you know, I have no power over you. You're right, but I have authority.
Amen.
Amen. And God's commission to me says that I have authority over you. Now you take an officer in the army. I don't care if they're the wimpiest, smallest, little shrimp, whatever. They have authority over the biggest, baddest, you know, enlisted person in the army. They have authority over them. Brother Branham's example of the traffic cop. Remember that? He talks about the cars, you know, and how they're driving and, you know, racing through the intersections. He says, but that police officer, all he has to do is blow his whistle and put his hand up. And he says, and they screech to a halt. He has no power to stop those cars. If they decide to run him over, they certainly can. Right? But he has the authority of the entire city behind him. Now, the beauty of it is that we have God, all power, backing us up.
Amen.
Amen. Not just a potentially corrupt city. Right? Amen. The all-powerful one. Amen. Brother, sister, he really does have it all in control. Amen. When he says all power in heaven and earth, he means all. He's got it all in control. Everything in your life. Amen. There's no part of your life that he doesn't see and doesn't have. If you allow him, if you let him move in, he'll take over. He'll take control. The problem is we don't let him. Amen. We don't. We he's a gentleman. He's not going to force his way in there. And we hold back parts of our lives. But if we allow him into every part of our heart and life, he will take control. Amen? Amen. And he'll do a better job than you will. I guarantee it. Amen. Spiritual food in due season. I've got a number of quotes that I want to read to you tonight. So I want to get right into them. We'll put it that way. Amen. He says, spiritual food in due season. He says, I got into the room there and I got to speaking to God, and I run my concordance to take him back to Daniel, where it said he came to the Ancient of Days whose hair was white as wool. And I said, Lord, I don't know what to say, and I've got a responsibility. So he's speaking about prophecy there in Daniel. And he says, now, that was before seven seals was opened, about a year or more before, and I was praying there, Lord, what was it? And I looked, and standing before me there stood a man. And he was a judge, and he had a white wig on. And the old judges of Ancient of Days used to wear a white wig to show that he was a supreme authority. And when I seen Jesus with that white wig, I said, it only vindicates the truth that we know, that he is the supreme authority. God witnessed the same thing on Mount of Transfiguration and said, this is my beloved Son, hear him. The supreme authority.
Amen.
When Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth, he wasn't joking. He wasn't exaggerating. Supreme authority. That's our God tonight.
Amen.
Mark 16:15. Again, these are familiar scriptures. This is also Jesus sending out his church. Amen. 15, it says, and he said unto them, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Everywhere it says they, you should put me. I. Amen? These signs shall follow me. In my name, his name, I shall cast out devils. I shall speak with new tongues. I shall take up servants. If I drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt me. Amen? This is a commission to you. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus gave this commission to you if you are a believer.
Amen.
Amen. In this scripture and in Matthew 28, it refers to two kingdoms, spiritual and natural. Right? This one just enumerates it a little bit more details. But it's still speaking of spiritual and natural. He said, all power, heaven and earth. Right? That's spiritual and natural. Amen? So we have power and authority over spirits and over the natural world.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus said, if you say unto this mountain, right? He said, if you say unto this mountain, don't doubt in your heart, you shall have whatsoever you say. That's controlling nature, right? I mean, that's really controlling nature. He demonstrated it for us. He demonstrated it on the fig tree. He demonstrated it on the sea, right? Speaking to the storm. He demonstrated it on the sea, walking on the water. A different way of controlling nature. He demonstrated it by raising the dead, healing bodies that are part of this natural world. Now, healing is also partially controlling spirits because there are spirits involved as well, right? But he demonstrated it over and over and over that he had that power and it was his to give. Now, we also know that Moses was an example of this. Moses was called of God to a purpose, right? He was a servant of God. God called him, call, go bring Israel out of Egypt, right? And so he's in the line of duty doing what God called him to do. He's been commissioned by God. God sent him, right? He said, go, I'll be with you. I'll give you authority. Take Aaron with you. Here's the rod. You know, all the commission that he gave him from the burning bush. Right? That was God giving Moses authority. And so when Moses went through all the things that he went through in Egypt and they came out and they started, heading to the promised land and then they got backed up to the Red Sea, God said, Moses, why cry but speak? I've given you authority. I've given you a commission. Amen? The Red Sea was blocking the way for him to fulfill what God had sent him to do. And so he was able to speak to the sea, and the sea parted so he could continue the job that God had given him. Now Moses had no power, right? He didn't have the power to get out there and stop that water. God had the power. But he gave Moses the authority. He had given him a commission. He had conferred upon him authority over the elements that God would back up. Amen? He was in the line of duty. Now, we are not Moses. Right? We're not called to the same thing. But it doesn't change the fact that we are called.
Amen.
That we do have a commission.
Amen.
Our commission is a little bit different than Moses, but it's just showing you what God does with somebody who stands up and moves forward on what God has sent them to do. Amen? I mean, you might be called to be a housewife or a mother or a grandmother. You're definitely not Moses. Right? But to live that life out as a Christian is what you're called to do. Well, you've got a commission to go out into the world and live that life of Christ.
Amen?
Amen? And you've got the authority of the Word of God behind you. And when the enemy tries to hinder your walk, tries to stop you in any way, tries to take what belongs to you, tries to steal your health or your joy or your family, you've got a right to stand up to that. Because you have a commission. You know the authority that God has placed in you. Amen. See, brother, sister, we don't realize how great our position is. You know, and we use that example of a housewife, you know, or of a mother or something, because it's so far away from like Moses the prophet. Right? We can all look at Moses the prophet, and we can all look at Brother Branham the prophet, and we can say, well, you know, prophet. I mean, messenger of God, right? Of course. But what about me? I just get up in the morning and go to work and support my family, or I just get up and make the family breakfast and take care of the home. And you've got a commission. Every child of God has a commission. That's what the Holy Ghost is given for. And any officer in this family of God outranks the devil and every demon in hell by 100-fold. They're not even in the same league. And your commission says that those subordinates have to listen to you. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, Joshua was the same way. Joshua didn't have, you know, a word of God that he could go in and tell him to stop the sun. He was just in the heat of battle. He was just doing what God had told him to do. Amen? He was just living out where he was. He just happened to be a general, right? But he was in the battle, fulfilling what God had called him to do. And he needed more time. And so he stopped the sun. Amen? Why? Because God had called him to that.
Right.
Amen? He was an officer in God's army. He was commissioned by faith.
Right.
Amen? And by faith, he commanded a subordinate.
Right.
The subordinate in this case was the sun and the earth.
Right.
Yeah. You don't think the sun and the earth are subordinate to God? They seem pretty big to us, right? But all power is given to Him.
Amen.
And we're going to see in a moment that all goes to the church as well. Amen. Let's read this. Proving His Word. Oh, God likes to prove Himself to be God. Joshua knew that one day when he was standing there, one of the greatest paradoxes that ever happened outside of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When the enemy, he had routed them and the different armies was in the mountains, he had them routed and the sun was going down. My, what a time it was for General Joshua. Remember, he fought that land through without having a hospital, a nurse, a first aid band, or a wounded man. Tell me something that can beat that. Yes, sir. He never had no hospitals, no nurses, and he never lost any man as long as they walked in the will and the word of the Lord. God proved that he was with them. That's right. Now, notice now, we find out that Joshua knew if night come that they'd slip around and get with one another and get themselves together and make another big army, and he'd have a rough time with them the next day. He didn't know what to do, so he looked up to God. He needed help, and he needed that sun to stand still, so he just commanded that sun to stand still. Said for the moon to hang over Ajalon, not to move until he commanded it. And the moon and the sun stayed still for 24 hours. When Joshua fought the battle, conquered the enemy because he was right in the line of duty. He had a right to do it because he was obeying God's commandment. And as long as you are in the line of duty, keeping God's word, doing just what he told you to do, marching by the orders of God, you've got a right to say to that mountain, be moved.
Amen.
You say, I'm not a general like Joshua. It doesn't matter. You're a Christian. You're in the battle. Amen. Whether you know it or not, you're in the battle. And as long as you're keeping God's word and doing what you're told to do, You've got a right to say to anything that comes in between you and that goal, mountain be moved.
Amen.
Brother Branham says, God keeps his word. If you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that he said what you said will come to pass, you can have what you said. Jesus said that in St. Mark 11:22, and that's the truth. I know that's the truth. It's God's word, and that proves that it's truth. We're just afraid sometimes. We get to a place where we're afraid he won't keep that word. He will keep that word. He said he would do it. Now we find that it's true.
Amen.
Amen. So, like I said, Jesus showed it over and over. The fig tree, speaking to the storm, healing bodies. Amen. Remember, a commission is a high authority conferring rank and the ability to command a subordinate to follow orders. Amen. To command a subordinate to follow orders. His commission gives you the authority to speak to natural elements and command them. Amen? So then why don't we see people just walking around flying or, you know, speaking things into existence? Like pink Cadillacs. Right? Because for us to be able to speak his word, we have to have faith in his word. Right? And faith is a revelation. Right? And the Bible says that you can have whatsoever you ask, but you don't have what you ask because we ask amiss. Right? In James chapter 4, it tells us that if we ask the wrong things or we ask for something to consume on our lusts, then we don't receive what we ask for. Why? Because now we're outside of the word, which is our commission. Amen? The word is our commission, and our faith activates on the word. It doesn't matter if it's impossible or what it looks like. If it's right through the word, then the impossible is not only possible, it has to happen. And so then the natural elements become subordinate to that authority. Amen? They're subordinate to the authority of the word of God activated and held and moved by faith. Amen. I mean, how do you think all this got here? Right? That same power and authority that God used to create everything that there is. And by faith, he believed his own word. Now he has given that same authority to his church. We are small creators. We're children. Amen. We're made in his image. We're like him. But it has to be within his word. Right? So that's why, you know, we don't go create a world and live on it. Right? We could. The power is there. The authority is there. But we don't act on that because that's not what God called us to do. God didn't call you to go live on another world, create another world and go live on it. He said, go you into all this world.
Amen.
Right? All power in heaven and earth. So that power also extends to heaven, right? Because it's heaven and earth. Well, of course, you say, well, of course he's God of heaven. Heaven is where, you know, God is, and everything there is his domain. Well, that's heavenly, in that heavenly spiritual realm, in other words. So that includes demons. That includes principalities and powers, right? In heavenly places, in spiritual realms. He has authority over all spirits. And he's given us authority. Amen. We know that he sent, let's read it here in Luke chapter 9, where he sent his 12 disciples out. It says he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And then later, after they went out and the rest of them went out and then they came back in chapter 10, it says the 70 returned again with joy, saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." So they proved it. He told them, "You have authority over devils." And then they went out and they tested it. They put it into action. And their testimony was when they came back and said, "The devils are subject to us through thy name." But they're subject to us. Right? And he said, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." Amen. Truly. Truly. They did some damage. Right? They had authority over some demons. "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power." Did I just read that right?
Yes. Amen.
"Over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you." You say, "Oh, that was just for them." I'm going to show you in a minute where your prophet brought all of that right into the church. "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you." They are subject unto you, but he says, "Rejoice that your names are written in heaven."
Amen.
Amen. That position that we have, of course, is the most important thing. But it doesn't change the fact that they are subject to you. "He gave them power and authority over all devils, all the power of the enemy, diseases." Amen. This, in fact, mirrors what we read in Mark chapter 16, where he says, "You'll cast out demons. You'll do all these things." Why will you do all these things? Because I've given you authority over them.
Amen.
Amen. So let's read here in Convinced and Concerned. Now, I want to address a couple things in this quote. So this is, Brother Branham tells this story in several different sermons and several different times and kind of describes it. And so the situation is they're out fishing, and I believe they're somewhere in Florida fishing, right? And Brother Welch gets bit by this water snake that's very deadly. Apparently if you get bitten by the snake, you really only have, minutes, maybe hours, whatever, not very long to get to the hospital and get an antidote, and hopefully you'll make it. But it's bad, right? So this is one kind of version, or one telling, I should say, of that testimony. So Brother Welch said, I'll pick him up your fish. So he jumps off into some tules and pads. He jumps into the water to retrieve a fish. And when he did, a ground rattler grabbed him. And just about half a mile from where his brother had gotten bitten. And he jumped out of the water with two big holes in his leg or foot. Just above like that, I suppose he's pointing on his leg. Where the snake fang had hit. And he said his bones was freezing in him. I mean, he already began to feel the effects of the venom right into his leg. He said his bones was freezing in him. Now, if you'd seen his size, he's lots bigger than I am. And I'd have to pack him out about 2 miles on my back to get him out of there. That was too much for me. And we was sitting there, him holding it, suffering. So he's saying, look, what common sense tells us we need to do is get him to the hospital, get him out of there. But he says, I couldn't pack him 2 miles out of there. That was too much. We was sitting there, him holding it and suffering. And the Lord just spoke to me and said a scripture. They shall tread on the heads of serpents and scorpions, and nothing shall harm them. We just read that in Luke. And also, it says in one of the other Gospels, that account, it actually says those words. They shall tread on the heads of serpents and scorpions. Right? And nothing shall harm them. So again, bringing that he gave to the church there, those disciples, it's for us as well. But of course, it's right there in Mark 16 as well. So the people that want to say that Mark 16 is not inspired, right? There's two, at least three places that all, where the Word of God all ties together. So he says, so the Lord spoke to me and said that scripture. And I said, just a minute, Brother Evans. I put my hand over on the snake bite on his foot and I said, Heavenly Father, we are in a state of emergency. And it is written, if they shall take up serpents or if they tread on the heads, it will not harm them. That was for believers, and this brother is a believer. And I'm a believer. And we ask for your mercy. And he stopped kind of breathing and suffering the way he was. And I thought, just in respects of the prayer. So he thought he was kind of holding his breath a little bit to not in respect as he prayed. But when he got finished, he was laughing. Amen. Said, all the pain's gone. Just put on his shoes and went on. Amen. That's that scripture coming to life. Right? Now, I want to point something out to you, because sometimes we get in our minds, you know, that where he says, look, if you're just in the line of duty and you know, God's bound, and we'll read that too, where he's going to back you up. And we read about Moses and we read about him and Joshua. And these were men that were taking the gospel and they were preaching the gospel. And Paul, he was on his missionary journey, right? And he was going to pick up some wood and that snake bit him and he shook it off. But he was on a missionary journey, right? And so we could get in our minds that look, man, you got to be like out on the missionary field, or if you're not coming to church at that very moment when something happens, you're not in the line of duty, right? They were fishing. Amen? They were fishing. But they were believers. That's the point. Amen? They were not preaching the gospel. They were fishing. They were just living life. They were enjoying fellowship. Amen? They were enjoying nature. But they were believers. And everywhere a believer goes, a believer takes the name of Christ with them. Because they represent him. Amen? Amen. They're carrying a commission. The commission doesn't change just because you're fishing. Or just because you're going to the store. Right? Or just because you're doing something that you enjoy. It doesn't change the fact that you have a commission from God. You're representing him. You're carrying that commission. You're part of the church of the living God. Amen? Amen. Can I read just a few more? I just have, half a dozen quotes, all right? We're just going to read those, and that'll be it. Is that all right? Amen. Confirmation of the commission. Brother Brown says, when the natives on the island, the islanders, when they seen, he's speaking about Paul, when they seen him picking up the sticks, and they said, oh, that must have been some terrible murderer. With all them chains on him, poor little Paul about to freeze and his garments all wet. Amen. Here he is shipwrecked. The messenger to the Gentiles. The first church age messenger. All of the gospel of to the Gentiles is entrusted to this man. And here he is shipwrecked. Amen. He says he's about to freeze, garments all wet. Come over here, pick up a bunch of sticks and start to lay him on the fire. And a snake bit him in the hand that would have killed him. In a moment. And Paul looked at it like that and said, God, you told me I had to go to Rome yet. Shook it off in the fire. Went back and got some more sticks. Said, watch him fall. They said, watch him fall dead. In a few minutes, they changed it. Why? His commission had been confirmed. They said, he's a God that's come down from heaven. Right. He had confirmation. Because Jesus said, they shall tread on the heads of serpents and scorpions, and nothing shall harm them. Yes, sir. He had the evidence to prove it. Now, obviously, he wasn't God, right? But God was in him. God was with him. It was God on display because it was God's commission to him. Amen. It was God backing up Amen. The commission that he had given to Paul and every believer. Now I want to point to something else in that. That scripture in Mark 16, people say, well, that was just for those disciples right there. Well, Paul wasn't there. Amen? Amen? Paul was still a Pharisee at that point. He wasn't there. But it still applied to him. Amen. Just like it applies to you and I. Yeah. Amen. Questions and answers. He says, if I had my own way this morning, I just had a little interview with a little lady sitting here in a wheelchair to come to this meeting today. And they had to have the fire department to take her out of the house in Chicago. People live across the street and they couldn't come to meetings. See, so he's just talking about the difficulty that she had to get there. Right. And he says, what would I do if it was in my power? He says, it is, and I have the authority to do it, but I have to wait for orders to do it. See, what's he talking? He's talking about her getting out of that wheelchair, right? He says, I have the authority to do it, but I have to wait for orders. See, I have the authority from God to do it, but now when he gives the orders, she'll go back home well. Amen. See, I know that's the truth. We have the authority, but our authority, brother, sister, is governed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's not governed by our will. Right. It's not governed by our desires. Amen. That's why we don't speak pink Cadillacs in existence. Amen? Because it's governed by the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit leads you or reveals a word to you, amen, then there's nothing that can stand in the way. Amen. Spiritual food in due season. He says, now, do you see where I'm trying to get to? I spoke with you pretty plain this morning. Don't you see the authority of the living God in the living church, the bride? The authority is in the living of the living God is in the living church, the bride. The sick are healed, the dead are raised up, the cripples walk, the blind see, the gospel goes forth in its power, for the message and the messenger are the same. The word is in the church, in the person. The word of God was in Elijah when he walked up there with, thus saith the Lord, and said, it isn't going to rain. That wasn't Elijah, that was God in Elijah. The authority that we have comes from the word. But it's the living word in the living church. Amen. Amen. And then, ashamed, he says, if I'm a Christian and been filled with the Spirit, wearing the testimony of Jesus Christ's resurrection, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, don't let any devil try and push you around. Amen. Amen. If you're a Christian and filled with the Spirit, if you have the testimony of Jesus Christ, don't let the devil push you around tonight. Don't let any devil try and push you around and say, you don't do this and you don't do that. You do do it. God has given you. See, we don't have power. That policeman don't have power to stop one car. Sometimes there's 300 or 400 horsepower motor. What could he do about that? But he's got authority. That's the church. We have the authority. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his promised word. Amen. Hallelujah. The things that I do shall you do also. More of this will you do, for I go to the Father. Amen. Amen. We don't have ability. We don't have power. We do have authority. Amen. He has power. He has ability. And he's backing up the authority that he's given us. Amen. 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 God of this evil age. He says, for as the germ of natural life is brought down, germatized from father to father, father to father, so is the life of Christ germinized. That's the reason God uses Elijah's spirit five different times. What is it? It's a handing down. Just as your natural life and traits is handed down from the natural breeding of your father, so is the Spirit of God that was predestinated before the foundation of the world. And when the entire Word of God, incomplete, was headed up in a human body called Jesus Christ, in there God made me pay for my sins in Him there. Then He rose me, raised me up with Him in the resurrection. And now we are seated with Him with power and authority over every devil.
Amen.
We are seated with Him with power and authority over every devil. Oh, if you could only believe what God has given. But if you're not seated there, you don't have it. And if you're seated there and you don't believe and are afraid to move, you'll never use it. I think we fall into that way too many times. But if you are seated there, you'll use it. For you're ordained to do what you do.
Amen.
Amen. Authority over every devil. There are subordinates.
Amen.
They're subordinate to the commission and the position that we've been given. Amen. In the economy of God, you outrank them. Amen. He gave us that position and authority for a reason, brother, sister. Amen. Let's not be afraid to use it. Amen. Let's stand one more quote here tonight. A trial. Musicians, if you come. He says, if you believe Him, then something's going to happen. Amen. So he's just about to have a prayer line. But he's saying, if you believe Him, something's going to happen. Remember now, there's no power in none of these ministers. There's no power in me. There's no power in any man to heal. But we have authority. We have authority from God to do this. We don't have power, we have authority. And here is our authority, God's Word. And the presence of Jesus Christ proves that He's here. He says, what? You should be healed. Everyone. Why? Because that's part of the commission. That's what we've been given authority to do. Amen? Over every devil. Amen. Lord, help us not to be afraid to use it. Amen. The thing is, you know, we're not puffing ourselves up. We're not lifting ourselves up and saying that we're some great something. All we're doing is acknowledging what He's done.
Amen.
We're acknowledging that Christ has all power and authority. And He's given the church a commission to use that power and authority according to His will. Pretty simple, right? But yet it's so hard sometimes to have faith and confidence when you're right in the midst of the trial, right in the midst of the battle, and Satan is doing his best to talk you out of it. And he's pointing at every other thing he can. He's pointing at every situation and circumstance. He's pointing at every fault and failure that you've got. That has nothing to do with the commission. But he has to obey it. The power of God is backing up his word. And he will obey it. Amen. Don't you love him tonight? Don't you love the Lord? Amen. He's good, isn't he? Amen. Isn't he worthy of serving? Isn't he worthy of praising? Amen. Isn't he worthy of just living every day, every moment for? Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Oh, Father, we just thank you, Lord, once again, Lord, for your word. And Lord, just a simple word tonight, Lord, but I just pray that it would just help somebody, Father, just one of your children, Lord, to take their position and not be afraid, oh God, to stand up and to step out by faith on your word. Lord, we're all your children, Lord, and we're all in a battle, Lord, and we understand, Lord, that this life, it's not a picnic, Lord. It's not a flowery bed of ease, but it is a battle. We are in a war. But Lord, we've been commissioned into the greatest army that ever was, and you're the greatest general that ever lived. Lord, and you have all power and authority over everything that there is. So Lord, we just submit ourselves to you, Lord. We say, Lord, you're in control, Lord. You're our God. Lord, and we know that as we submit to you, Lord, that Lord, we will move into our position. That's where we'll find peace and joy and rest, as we submit to you and we find our place in the body of Christ. So, Lord, I just pray that you would just touch my brothers and sisters tonight, God. I pray that you just, Lord, raise their faith, Lord, to new heights and new levels, Lord. Lord, even as they fight the good fight of faith, Father, may it just raise and grow, Lord God, those faith muscles. Lord, the more that those muscles are exercised, Father, we know that they'll just gain strength, Lord, that they might be able to take a hold of this word and not let go, Lord, to just wield the sword of faith in the face of every demon power, everything that would come against them. Lord, whether it would be sickness, Lord, whether it would be emotional stress, Lord, depression, oh God, anything that the enemy would throw their way, Father, I pray that they would take the sword of faith and that they would be victorious, Lord, over these enemies, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that you promised that you would never leave us or forsake us, that you would be with us until the end of the age. Oh God, that your commission, Lord, that you would be there to make sure that it's to make good on your promise, Lord. Oh Lord, you're so good to us, Father. You're so good, Lord. Lord, may we just stop and take time to thank you and to worship you. And just realize and contemplate, think about what you've done for us. And how precious it is to us, Lord. And Lord, how we want to live for you, Lord. And we want to please you in everything that we do. Because part of that commission, Lord, that you gave to us, it's a responsibility. It's a responsibility to act like a Christian, to live like a Christian, to live above the things of the earth. Just as an officer in the army would be expected to act a certain way and behave with a certain decorum, Lord, we know that we're supposed to live, Lord, a life of holiness and a life, Lord, that's surrendered to you, that's reflecting you in your character. Lord, help us to live that kind of life. Lord, that those around us would get thirsty, that they would desire, oh God, to meet you themselves. Oh, how we love you, how we thank you, Lord, tonight. I just pray that you just bless this word, Father. May it just find a bedding ground tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Moving in our midst, I worship you. I worship you. You are here working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, moving in our. Amen. The one with all power is here tonight. Amen. Worship him tonight, amen. You are here, healing him. Yes, Lord, hallelujah. I will.